Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
Good morning, first of all. And thank you for my birthday song. And I just wanted to, you know, we all have family. Oh, you couldn't get it? Okay, well, I won't share that then. My sister, who is 14 months from me, I have 11 brothers and sisters, but she sent me one this morning that was really cute. It was like one of those emojis with the face. It had her blonde hair, but it was her voice coming through, and it was so adorable. I was like, oh, that would be really sweet to share this morning, but and kind of funny, but it didn't happen. So you can just put up the visual of... Okay. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, Psalms 122. That is the theme of today's share. That is what I'm going to share. Maybe not even a month ago, I was going to do something else. And one day I left church here, and this, I don't know why that came to me that day at church, but I wouldn't let go, and I felt really strong about it. And I was like, okay, I've told Rusty, I said, I'm changing what I'm sharing. So here we go. The word glad in that, I looked it up, the meaning of it, and is to experience pleasure, joy, delight, happy, joy unspeakable, and full of glory. So I know all of us have had something with family or events we've gone to that we've all had that kind of unspeakable joy, whether it was the birth of our last child, who my daughter Raylee is number five, or it was the birth of our first son, or it was the graduation of one of our kids, was going to their soccer games and hooting and hollering when the ball went in the goalie or whatever, or the basket went in the hoop. I had a daughter who was a basketball player. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not one, I don't hoop and holler a whole lot, but when I show up at my kids' events, they can tell you I kind of turn into another person. So anyways, I get a little radical, whether it be for, yeah, fun stuff or if I've got my mother face on. they know mom's talking. But anyway, so joy and delight. So we've all experienced a number of events. Why should coming into the presence of God be any less joyful and delightful? Coming to the house of the Lord can be a chore or a delight. What is it for you? You know what it is for me. Oops, I'll try not to hit my mic. For David, who was the king of Israel, he was son of Jesse. He was in the family line of Jesus. He was anointed king. He was a skillful musician to Saul. He fought Goliath, and he was loved by the people. He wrote 73 of the 150 chapters in Psalms. And David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I know it's hard sometimes when we feel like it's a chore to get up and come here. We all have things in our lives that make it difficult and challenging to get here, but I don't know about you. I back when I gave my life to the Lord, there was just something about going from a church I attended, which was Methodist, and it was just something I did. We just were expected to show up. I actually could go out my door and walk a quarter of a mile down to my little church to attend it. And you know, that was nice to do, but then I got saved. I mean, I actually understood what it meant to receive Christ and have a relationship with him. When that happened, my little quarter of a mile walk turned into a 45-minute drive because I had to be where the presence of God was at. I had to attend somewhere where people knew who their God was and how he could minister to me. And his presence just became alive, and I couldn't just sit in a service and find myself falling asleep anymore. It was real to me. So I guess I'm saying to you, as I've had to do to myself, Maybe you need to look within yourself and you need to ask some questions to yourself. If it's a chore to come, why is it a chore? Is there something in your life that maybe needs changed? Are you having or harboring some unforgiveness with someone in your life? Have you just become lukewarm? And Revelations 3:16, we all know what that says. The church in Laodicea had become lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. And Jesus said he wished them one or the other. He said he would spit them out. And I don't want to be spit out of the mouth of God or out of his presence, as it means. I know for me, there was a time in my life when I harbored some unforgiveness for someone who had done something that was hurtful. And I had a hard time letting it go. But I found that when I came into God's presence, it also hindered my worship. So I actually went to my pastor and spoke to him about it, you know, and I was reminded, who am I not to forgive this person with all the forgiveness that has been given to me? And so once I released this person in my life, worship once again was full of glory and unspeakable and all that. You've got to let go of things in your life. You've got to question why you're lukewarm and why you're not excited when you come into God's house. Maybe how we view God and see him will determine our view of worship and how we worship. If God is truth, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no lie in him, then the truth is what sets us free. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Then we can also say that a lie holds us back. What we believe about God is important. We are either growing in his freedom or we're becoming weak and powerless. There's one foundational truth about our God, and that God is love. John 4:8. God never uses shame or condemnation to control us or to influence us to love him or to worship him. He is love, and his heart to you is shown in his life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. As we truly see God as he is, we will be set free and we will feel empowered to live like Jesus and to freely worship when we come into his presence. I don't need to tell you I love worship. It's all I can do to keep my hands down. I want them up all the time. And I love being in the presence of the Lord. I know what God has done for me. I know what he's done in my life. I know the things he's taken me out of, and I know the things he's brought me into. How can I not worship a God like that? There's nothing in my life and your life that's too big for him and that you can't overcome and that you can't come into his presence. He is all worthy of all praise with everything that's within us for his glory. We have been designed and created to know God as love and to be transformed into his image and by his truth. But if we view God as angry and vengeful, waiting for us to mess up and be punished, then we are believing a lie. We are hearing wrong messages and we are being deceived. Our adversary, the devil, comes to rob, steal, kill, and if he can rob us of our joy, if he can make us feel defeated and unworthy, then he is accomplishing his mission to keep the body of Christ from entering into the presence of God as they should. Nothing compares to the presence and the anointing of God. Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but exhort one another, encourage, build up one another. Psalms 95, come let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. Psalms 100, 1-4, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth, worship the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing and gladness and joy, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. 1 Timothy 2:8, "In every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy." So when we come into God's house, this is God's desire. It's all through the book of Psalms, the raising of holy hands. It pleases the heart of God when we come before him and we worship him. We don't come here not to be entertained. We don't come here to be seen, but we come here to enter into God's presence. And then in 1 Timothy 2:8, "In every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy." Psalms 150, "Praise the Lord, praise God in the sanctuary, praise him in the mighty heavens, praise him for his mighty works, praise his unequaled greatness, praise him with the blast of ram's horns and with the lyre and the harp, praise him with the tambourine, praise him with dancing, praise him with stringed instruments and flutes and clash of cymbals. "Let everything that have breath praise the Lord." We don't have all those instruments, but boy, if we did, wouldn't it be fun? God responds to our effort. He rewards those who diligently seek him. He demonstrates his glory when we unite and worship. There is an energy in the house when we worship together. So we get together, we become one, we're family. It's a good energy. There's a lot of love there. And I have heard the ram's horn, and I love that. The shofar, I love to hear that when the worship is going on. I worship him because he is worthy. He is holy. He is eternal. He is loving. He is kind. He's forgiving. He's compassionate, and he's merciful. I love him. I worship him because he saved me. He gave me a new life. He washed my sins away. And he remembers my sins no more. I love him for that. I stand before him clean and pure. I love that. Romans 12:1. We are to be a living sacrifice to God, the kind he will find acceptable. This is true worship. Not patterned after living as the world does, but being transformed into his image. Then you will know what pleases the heart of God and how to walk before him. If you're keeping one foot in the ways and the pleasures of this world, you're going to compromise that time of of God's presence and being in his presence and how you walk before him. I personally can't be a Christian on Sunday and somebody else Monday through Saturday. I can't hang out on weekends, places where I don't need to be. I need to be with like-minded people, and I believe Scripture is very clear about being with like-minded people. That builds my faith up spiritually. In every way, my health, my everything, I believe we have to be careful where we spend our time outside of God's house. We should be able to be with him every day of the week. We should be able to come into his presence, whether we're in this house or somebody else's home. I want to be with those that build me up, not tear me down. I don't want my spirit to be compromised before the Lord. So I think we need to be careful. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what I want to know and experience. So, if I wait until I feel like worshiping, there might be a good chance I won't worship. I don't always come in feeling. I may have the weight of something else on my shoulders and my mind that may be very heavy, and I may not feel like it, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter how I feel. When I come into God's house, it matters what's due him, and that's my worship. That's my love. I have to put me aside. My feelings have to take a back seat. And that's something that I've had to learn over the years. I wasn't always good at it. There were many times when I would be, you know, trying to gather the kids together, you know, and get out the door to be on church on time, be to Sunday school. I can remember, you know, and I can remember times we'd be in the car and, you know, Rusty and I might be like this, you know, and I'd be, oh Lord, you know I'm going to your house. I don't feel worthy to go there because I don't feel like I can, yeah, I can enter into your presence and come acceptable because I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling like I'd been easier just to stay home. But once I got there, once I gave of myself, once I made the effort, it's amazing what God will do. And, you know, we've had times trying to get to an Easter service. And my husband went out to the barn and came back in and said, the foal is born. And we had this little stallion out there, you know, and it'd be like the kids, you know, we're all running out to the barn to see the baby horse first. Well, then we find out the kittens were born the same day. And it's Easter Sunday, you know, we're trying to get to church. But, you know, I always, because when I got saved, church was my priority, not church, Christ was my priority. So if it meant I had to start Saturday to get ready for Sunday morning, if I had to pick out their clothes the night before, they had to have their baths and their showers, I don't, whatever it was, I wasn't going out Saturday night unless I was ready to get up in the morning and go out the door and be at church. And that's just how it was. That's something I never compromised on. I never, you know, the kids can tell you, sometimes it was crazy getting out the door. And, you know, we'd move from one thing to another. We'd move to a tree farm. And, you know, we'd be busy at one thing. There's always something you're going to be busy at, something that's going to be weighing on you. And it's like, but this is when you have a commitment and your commitment is to Christ, whatever you're called to do, wherever you're called to serve, do it as unto the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. A true worshiper, the Bible says, must worship him in spirit and in truth. You as spirit live in the world of flesh and blood, but you are not of it. You're a spiritual being. You have a physical self that is often at odds with your spirit, but you can only serve one. Which will you serve? I remember the joy of accepting Jesus into my heart and life and the peace as I walked in his presence. But I also remember what life was before that when I walked in my ways. There was no peace, and I got myself in trouble many times. Remember life before that. Couldn't care less about whether I was in church or not, only because most of that time was I didn't really truly know the Lord. But I, you know, growing up, I, like I said, attended a little church, and my stepmother would, I lived with my dad from five, you know, until I got married, and my stepmom married, you know, my dad, and she raised us from the time I was about six. And but I can remember going to our Sunday school services and whatnot. I can remember her sitting over there, and she'd be teaching the adults. And then it was a small little country church. It's still there. It's still sweet to see. And I remember her talking about the stories of the night before when her and my dad would have been at the bar and the things that were happening then. And then she'd teach something out of the Bible. And at the time, that didn't mean anything to me. But my goodness, she got saved, she got delivered and set free. And she was like, oh, she said, how foolish was I? And so anyways, our ways change when we come to the Lord. You know, the things we used to do, we no longer want to do. And walking with the Lord is the one thing that gives us our joy. Let's see. I guess the other thing is, when I came to Christ, I've never experienced this either in any other churches that I attended before I truly knew what relationship was with the Lord. And that was, there's a time in your life when you need to be able to repent before the Lord. When you first come to him, there are things in our lives we need to repent of. I can remember repentance. I can remember having to repent of things in my life. And I can remember the tears. And I can remember being down on my knees before him because I realized just how dirty my sins were. and how holy he was. And I can remember how precious it was to get up off that floor and to feel clean again. And I can remember that's something I'd never experienced before. And you can't if you don't come to him and you don't develop a relationship with him. So that was precious. It was precious if you've never knelt before the Lord and cried in his presence and asked for his forgiveness and repented. There's something powerful when you get down on your knees and you lay your soul out before the Lord. And with that, there's a song that came to me, "Then Sings My Soul, My Savior God to Thee, How Great Thou Art." It's an old one. And that's one I used to sing when I'd go to the Methodist church. But some of those songs are just, you just can't ever outlive those songs. Psalms 22, God inhabits the praises of his people. Don't forget that you're primarily a spiritual being living in a physical body. So we worship him in spirit and truth. I'm just kind of going to go over a little bit outline and finish it up here. We all unite in worship and we prepare our hearts to sing, to teach, to prophesy. We're not coming, once again, like I said, to be entertained. So we all come into the house. We all come because we all have something to give. It doesn't matter what it is. You give a love, you get smiles. Karen's always giving hugs and always asking how I'm doing and how's the family. And we all have something to give to each other and serve in some way. And that's why it's so important to come into the house of the Lord. I'm built up, I'm encouraged by you guys when you give me hugs, when you give me words of encouragement, when you ask about my family, whatever it is. When you tell me my song was good, even though I didn't stay on tune with the music or whatever, you're always encouraging. So remember that you have been raised up in Christ. You're already glorified and you're seated in heavenly places at this very moment. Most of us see ourselves, like I said, as physical beings having spiritual experiences that open up to encounters to God. But again, we are primarily spiritual beings having human experiences, not the other way around. And if we could grasp that, how different we would walk. Colossians 3:16, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do and say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks through him to God the Father.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.